This episode is presented by Invest Puerto Rico. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Hello and welcome back to Equity, the TechCrunch podcast about the business of startups, where we unpack the numbers and the nuance behind the headlines. This is Alex. Good morning. Today is April 22nd, 2024, and this is our Monday show, where we look back at the weekend and then take a peek at the week that is to come. Over the weekend, we had an awesome interview with Hans Tung, a very well-known venture capitalist. I fully recommend that you give that a listen. So after Equity Monday, just hit play on the next episode and we have a treat for you. Now, on the podcast today, we have stocks and crypto, including the halving, an IPO update, then two new venture funds, the demise of an incredibly silly deal, and then an emerging startup cluster that I think rules. Let us begin with a look at the world of money, and that means my favorite thing in the world, which is the stock market. Over in Asia, shares are largely higher today. They are mostly up in Europe as well and are set to rise here in the US at the open. How is that for green across the board to start the week? And it is going to be a very busy week because we have so very many earnings reports. CNBC writes that about 30% of the S&P 500 will drop their own results this week. But the good news is 73% of the companies that have reported have beaten estimates. So that means for the following list of tech companies, the vibes are good. So on Monday, we shall hear earnings from SAP and Verizon. Then Tuesday is Visa, Tesla, more on that in just a minute, Texas Instruments, Spotify, and Seagate. And then on Wednesday, we begin to hear from the largest tech companies, so Meta, and then IBM and ServiceNow. Thursday will bring us more of the big names, Microsoft and Alphabet, and then elsewhere, T-Mobile, Atlassian, Mobileye, Snap, Juniper Networks, Roku, AppFolio, Opera, and NerdWallet. There is something for everyone in there. Let's get it. Not to be outdone with the stock market deluge, crypto is having its own news cycle, and that is all based on the Bitcoin halving completing a couple of days ago. What does that mean? If you don't know and don't want to ask your friends in case they make fun of you, I will explain. It means that the miner rewards for doing the hard computation work that actually runs the Bitcoin blockchain has been greatly reduced. It's been cut in half, hence the halving. That might sound bad. Why do we care? Well, historically, the value of Bitcoin has risen after a halving. So some folks argue that this is actually priced into the current value of Bitcoin because we could see from miles away when it was going to happen. But bulls on the crypto side are still expecting a positive price run. We shall see who is correct. For now, things are muted. Bitcoin's price is pretty flat in the last week to about $66,000. And then Ethereum's token is off about 1.3% in the last week to about $3,200. Well, we're back with more IPO updates, which means for the second week in a row, we're talking about public offerings, and I could not be happier. I love an IPO. Now, shares of Ibotta gave back ground after its strong debut last week. It does look to be pretty stable today, at least according to pre-market trading. So, after pricing at $88 per share above its range, the company was worth $98 per share before opening today. That is great news for Rubrik, another technology company, which is going to go public this week. It's expected to price on Wednesday and then trade on Thursday. It's a big deal. Renaissance Capital notes that the company is currently looking at a $679 million IPO raise at a $6.1 billion market cap. Though, of course, those numbers will change, and when we get the final pricing, we'll know what they are, but that gives you an idea of the scale here. So if Ibotta went public last week, why do we care about Rubrik's IPO this week? Well, because it is an unprofitable software company with a slightly complicated growth story. So it could be a pretty good comp for other unicorns still looking to go out. So the way that I see it is this. The better that Rubrik does this week, the more IPOs we're going to have this year. This one should really matter. All right, let's move past IPOs and talk about venture capital, because there are a lot of new funds that are popping up. And one that really caught my eye this morning was Seraphim Space. So Seraphim Space is a UK-based tech investment group, and it has actually launched its second venture capital fund following a first close with LPs, including Eutelsat. So CEO and manager Mark Boggett declined to disclose the actual percentage that it had raised and what its formal target is, but it did say that the fund should be larger than its first fund, a 2017-era 70 million pound vehicle. That was about $90 million at the time. So the early stage fund is going to build a global portfolio of 30 startups in this new fund, looking to make investments at the seed and Series A stages. And it managed to raise, or is raising, more money than its first fund because that first fund returned three times its original investment, according to TechCrunch reporting. That's the kind of return you want to see from a VC, and so it gets to raise one more. Themes for the Seraphim Fund are going to be use of AI in space, in orbit computing, microgravity for science, among others. In other words, there's a lot of, greenfield space up there in space. But not all venture capital funds are so eyes in the sky. Next up, we have TLCom Capital. Now, you and I both know that venture investments in Africa have slowed dramatically in the last couple of years, but it turns out there are a number of new funds that are working to change that. And the most recent that I have seen is TLCom Capital just put together its Fund 2, which weighs in at $154 million. Now, the VC firm, which has offices in both Nairobi and Lagos, was actually just targeting $150 million. So even though the overrun is relatively modest, this is technically an oversubscribed fund. And its first close, going back in time, just for reference, was $70 million. That should give you some idea of where Seraphim could end up. Now, TLCom is also making seed and Series A investments, though it may write later stage checks as it wants to, but it's going to focus on things a bit closer to Earth. So talking about fintech and mobility, agriculture, healthcare, commerce, and the like. It has already backed six companies out of its new fund, writing checks between $1 and $3 million. What's next in tech? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's an innovations paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/TechCrunch. Rolling along, let's talk about the world of EVs, where things are looking a little bit grim. CNBC reports that shares of Tesla and Li Auto are falling after recent price cuts, so I had to go take a look. Shares of Tesla are off around 4% in pre-market trading, and then Li Auto is off more than 7%. What is going on? Well, Reuters reported over the weekend that Tesla, and I quote, cut prices in a number of its major markets, including China and Germany, following price cuts in the U.S. as it grapples with falling sales and an intensifying price war for electric vehicles, especially against Chinese EVs. In that vein, Li Auto also cut prices. So, in summary, softening demand growth for EVs mixed with a lot of competitors vying for market share has led to EV price cuts. Those in turn harm EV margins, which make EV investors very sad. So electric vehicle companies are squeezed at the moment, but Tesla might be uniquely in the ringer. It has seen its value drop sharply this year, falling more than 40%. That said, the company does have a chance to turn things around because it drops earnings this week, as we noted before. So it will talk about its first quarter, but then also tell investors what it expects for the rest of the year. More recently, the company has also cut the price of its self-driving assist system and recalled thousands of Cybertrucks last week. Tesla has gone through hard times before and come out stronger on the other end. The difference this time, I will say, is that as it goes through the ringer, it does have more competent competition trying to eat its lunch. That said, Tesla fans aren't going to stop being fans, so let's see what happens at earnings. Moving along this morning, a silly deal has died an early death, and I am not surprised, nor am I disappointed. Salesforce was considering buying Informatica, but the deal has been called off after the companies could not get to terms. I think I know why, but going back in time, shares of Salesforce fell after the original reporting, with its investors worried that it would overpay for what appeared to be a very limited growth opportunity and not that much strategic value in the data space. Shares of Informatica also initially fell after the reports came out of a potential deal, because investors were worried that it would not get enough money for its shares. Well, now the deal is dead, according to recent reporting. So what is the verdict? Well, shares of Salesforce are up 3% in pre-market trading, while shares of Informatica are off 7%. It is hard to please investors, I know, but it also seems that Salesforce's big M&A days remain somewhat in its past. Recall that it got into a fight with some activist shareholders, resulting in a pullback in deal making, which made the idea of it dropping more than $10 billion for Informatica a little bit hard to parse, especially once we dug more into the deal and saw what Salesforce would and wouldn't be getting. Au revoir, Salesforce Informatica. We barely knew ya. And to bring us to a close this morning, a startup cluster to watch this morning, we have to talk about vector databases. I should have seen this one coming from about 7 miles away, but here we are. Paul, writing for TechCrunch, beat me to the punch, writing that vector databases are all the rage, judging by the number of startups entering the space and the investors ponying up for a piece of the pie. The proliferation of large language models and generative AI have created fertile ground for vector database technologies to flourish. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, crap, I should know what those terms mean, but I don't. Don't worry, I am here for you. The background is that traditional relational databases like Postgres or MySQL just aren't good for unstructured data like images and videos and anything that doesn't quite fit into a spreadsheet. So what vector databases do is store and process data in the form of vector embeddings. Those convert text and documents and such into numerical representations that capture the meaning and relationships between the different data points. This is clutch for helping you search for things like, I don't know, red shirts in a database. In January, Quadrant secured $28 million in funding to capitalize on its own vector databases growth. And we've also seen Vespa and Weaviate and Pinecone and Chroma collectively raise more than $200 million in the last year for their own vector offerings. And that's just a smattering of the names. The list goes on and on. Since the start of the year, we've also seen Index Ventures lead a $9.5 million seed round into Superlinked, a platform that transforms complex data into vector embeddings. And very recently, at the last YC demo day, we saw Lantern, a startup that sells a hosted vector search engine for Postgres. This is a very busy space, and the big names are taking note, so do expect a fight, but if I had to pick someone to win in that competition, as always, may the startups win. All right, that is our show for this fine Monday morning. If you need even more from the Equity crew, we are Equity Pod over on X and Threads. I am Alex over on X. We have one sister show called Found, digging into founder stories that I cannot recommend highly enough. I will talk to you soon. We're back on Wednesday. We're back on Friday. Bye. Equity is hosted by myself, Alex Wilhelm, and TechCrunch senior reporter, Mary Ann Azevedo. We are produced by Teresa Loconsolo with editing by Kel. Bryce Durbin is our illustrator, and a big thank you to the audience development team and Henry Picavet, who manages TechCrunch audio products. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.